Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Mark. I have been in ministry since 1992. Yeah, a while. I have four grown children. Three are actually pastors. My wife is in the district as the family and kids director, and I am now in the district as well doing a director of emerging leadership. So, yeah. So last week I was in Smithers preaching a youth retreat, and now I'm here. Just getting the rounds. 10 days from now, I'll be in Italy. So sorry about that. I'll be in Italy. Okay, anyway, just an honor to be in the house of Jesus and talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I know that's pretty shocking. Amen. Tell me what I say. Everybody say this, in Christ.
In Christ.
Say it to your friend. Say, in Christ. Get in Christ. You already are. For most of you, I hope. But if anybody is not, we're going to paint a pathway for you. In Christ is a phrase that you find a lot in the book of Ephesians. And I just came to tell you what's available in Jesus. Like to remind you. You ever head to McDonald's and you're like, oh man, I can't wait to get a cheeseburger. And you're like, it's like your life is about to change because it's a cheeseburger. But how many know this? It's an incredibly ordinary cheeseburger. Like, and for some of you, it will make you violently sick. How many know this? Right. Okay, so. And I'm like, we get so excited about such ordinary things in our culture. And there's 100,000 things in our lives that are actually literally so ordinary. But what you can find in Jesus Christ is beyond extraordinary. And I'm going to remind you of some of those things today. Is that okay? Are you sure? Because I asked you a question, and you kind of looked at me like I was on the moon. Anyway, it doesn't matter. In Christ is this doorway to a rich and beautiful life. And as we think about Paul's words, as we approach him, in Paul's mind, to be in Christ is the greatest gift he's ever experienced. And so Ephesians paints this incredible book. And I don't have time, or a picture, I don't have time to walk through Ephesians. There's so much Ephesians. It's like really one of my most favorite books. But what Paul tries to say, especially in the first chapter, is that you have been resourced in an incredible way by the things of God. Sometimes we live a very ordinary spiritual life. We forget that God has actually ordained miracles for our existence. We actually pretend that we haven't been given extraordinary things. And in Jesus, there is like beyond supply. We are utterly blessed. And so let's dive in. And before we read the first verse, what I want you to put in your head is, I'm going to paint this picture, but there's nobody pointing a spear at you and say, take advantage of what God has for you. Nobody is. You get to choose whether or not you're going to dive in Christ and actually appropriate what he makes available for your life, or you're not. You're going to settle for a living by Canadian standards. You're going to actually decide if you're going to pursue what the world celebrates as being extraordinary, and it actually is often just ordinary. Or you're going to say, God's made me for a bigger purpose and more power than that. So I'm going to dive into what God's promised me. And so I'm hopefully going to open your eyes to some of this beautiful stuff. But without further ado, let's just take a look at one verse in Ephesians chapter 1. And it says this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the author is Paul. Anybody get that one? I've said it 4 times. Good. He's an apostle, and he's incredibly familiar with this audience. He lived there for several years, and now he's fast-forwarding. He's in a prison cell. And when he paints all these resources for us, I want you to actually picture the fact that he's in a Roman prison. He's chained to a wall. Some of his prison sentences weren't this bad, but this one's pretty dark. He literally says, I, Paul, in chains. That makes it pretty clear. He's in chains. And so, like, he's in a prison cell, and I don't know if you picture a Roman prison cell much like a Canadian spa or something, but it's not a Canadian spa. It's actually a sewer-infested, rodent-infested, and burly, creepy guys who are walking around the hallways. It's a terrible place to be chained to a wall. But in this atmosphere, without electricity or indoor plumbing, he writes about what we have in Christ. Sorry, I wanted to just do a little context. Is that helpful? Are you picturing rats? Okay, good. Praise God. So he pours in, and we continue in this passage. And he says, praise be to the God and Father. Okay, he starts with the word praise from a prison cell. Wow. I stubbed my finger. God, how could you possibly do this to my life? That's sometimes how we are. I hurt my pinky. I can't believe you make me suffer like this, Lord. Hi, how's it going? So cute. Anyway, he's in a prison cell and he writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." Did you catch that? Everybody say every. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And the first one he just lists right here. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood." Anybody think for redemption? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Anyone? "The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ." Then he continues, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Paul goes deep. How many think it's like some pretty big words in this passage? Pretty big words, yeah. Let me just simplify it for you. He gets deep, but he starts with worship. Praise be to God in a prison cell. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm chained to the wall. And he says this to his audience. He says, "You are so blessed." He says, "You are so blessed." In fact, I actually think it better comes off as a question. Do you have any idea how blessed you are? Or do you just make the extraordinary ordinary? And he's worried about the Ephesians from hundreds of miles away in a prison cell. He doesn't know if he's going to go back to see them again. And he's worried about them. And he's like, "I just need to remind you. You have been given everything you need for an extraordinary life in Christ." In this passage, we read a list of resources or gifts extended to those who are in Christ. And it's in the gaze of a Trinitarian language, which means the Father's in play, the Son's in play, and the Holy Spirit's in play. They're all resourcing us in Christ. It's pretty cool. And he begins with, by the way, I'm not doing the math on the Trinity this morning. You can ask Jesus when you see him. 1 + 1 + 1 somehow equals 1. God bless us. Boom. Anyway, he starts with the Father. And he turns to the Father. Praise be to the Father. He says, every spiritual blessing is available to you. And he's worshiping in his cell. And then he says this. We don't think about this nearly enough. He said, God the Father chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. How many know Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning? Okay, put it in context, please. He planned for your rescue before you existed. Like when you wake up in the morning, do you remember the fact that he actually planned to rescue you? And if you actually meditated on that choice for him to rescue you, what would it do the rest of your day? I can't believe that you saw this moment coming, that you saw me coming, you saw my life, my mess, my extraordinary and empty stupidity sometimes. And you still, before the creation of the world, chose me. I would have made a better choice, Lord. Anybody ever feel like that sometimes? Of course you do. He chose us before the creation of the world. And then he said this. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus. And it was his good pleasure. Hey. You give your life to Jesus because he chose you? Then suddenly you are grafted into the family of God. Did you remind yourself that's of yourself this morning? Hey, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. There's all kinds of things that compete for identity. Our work, our place. There's like 18,000 identities out there now. And there's only one that really matters. You're either in the family or you're out. You're either son of God or a daughter of the King or you're out. You either chose before the creation of the world, rescued by the grace of Jesus, or you're out. And this is what the Father said. I've come to make a rescue plan. I saw you coming before the world began, and I actually chose to rescue you for the world because I want you back in my home. I want you at my table. I want you to knock on the door of my heart every day and go, Father, what do you have for me? When I start my day meditating that I have been rescued, and I have been chosen, and I have been adopted, that helps. Especially on the days when I feel like I'm chained to the wall too. Amen? And then it gets better. How could it possibly get better? The Father also gave us his best gift in his Son. He resources us with the Son of the living God. He said, I love you so much. I planned for your rescue for so long. The only thing I can do to make it happen is to send the best I got, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to send him and commission him to die, to suffer, die, even after being walking a perfect life. And most of you know this. It's like Sunday school, but have you meditated on it in a way that has changed the countenance and atmosphere in your life lately? Or do we get so busy feeling sorry for ourselves that we forget that we have been blessed? We have been blessed! Chosen before the world was made, rescued by the hand of the Father, resourced in the Son's life and sacrifice. And we're just getting started. God, the Father, resources our life with rescue, adoption, and his Son. And then the Son says, you know what? I want in on this too. The Son, Jesus, resources us with his life to redeem us, and we have been redeemed by the blood. You know what it means? It means that you have been rescued from your own brokenness and sin and shame. And so Jesus Christ actually says, in spite of the fact that you cannot stand before my Father because of your filthy attempt at righteousness, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand between you and the Father. And I'm going to redeem your life because you are incapable of redeeming your life. There is nothing in you that makes you, that gives you access to my Father. But Jesus says, you know what? I can do this. I can give you my righteousness. I can redeem you. Anybody glad that Jesus stands between you, the perfect Son of Lamb of God, stands between you and the Father, and judgment and eternity? Oh my goodness, we are so blessed. We deserve wrath. And he says, you get my righteousness. You get redeemed. Okay. That's pretty cool. Sometimes it's so easy to forget. We are ridiculously blessed. We get a pathway washed in the blood of Jesus, his perfection for our rebellion, his suffering for our freedom, and we are beyond blessed. And then he says, you know what? I'm just going to give you some forgiveness too. Really? Forgiveness? Oh, that's nice. Anybody love being forgiven? The sentence of death removed? Our eyes can lift in the presence of God. You know what forgiveness to me is like the visual for me? It's like 12,000 McDonald's cheeseburgers in a pyramid. You're like, every day I have a moment of repentance with Jesus. I have one already this morning. But Pastor Mark, I thought once we're saved, we're saved. We are. I also am flawed. Sometimes I do the things or think the things that I don't want to do. Anybody else? So I thank him. And I ask him for a fresh gift of mercy, which he says is also another renewable resource. Every day I wake up to the new mercy of Jesus Christ. And every day I thank him for it. You know why? Because every time I thank him, sorry, I scared you. Every time I thank him for it, I start to realize how incredibly blessed I am. Every spiritual blessing is available to me in heaven and earth. And when I do, it changes my countenance. I'm a little tired of really sad Christians. I feel like we meditate on the wrong things. We tell ourselves that God owes us so much, but we have been given far more than we deserve. just want to remind you what's available in Jesus. He goes on from forgiveness. And here's the gift about forgiveness. I'm going to pause for a second. When I come with unforgiveness, I come with my head bowed. It is shame. When I come to a place of forgiveness, I can actually lift my eyes to the heavens, where my help comes from. And I can look at him face to face and I go, you've restored me to your place. Son of God, daughter of the King, whoever you might be. Forgiven, now be able to look without shame or pain into the eyes of a living and loving Savior. Anybody grateful for that moment? Every day. Start your day meditating on every spiritual blessing, because we're not done. Then Jesus resources us with a word called grace. Grace is favor we don't deserve. We remain adopted. Hey. Son of God, daughter of the King. Listen, we remain adopted even in moments of weakness and sin. How blessed are we? How blessed are we by his grace? Favor that we don't deserve. Undeserved favor, and it's renewed every day like mercy. And then, not only did the Father say, I choose you, the Son says, I choose you too. You were chosen in Jesus. Whoa, double chosen. It's like you were picked first for the team and you were picked again. Double ticked. Come on now. Is anybody still recovering from this morning? Sorry, didn't want to remind you of that. That was painful. Anyway, he called us to himself, and I want you to know this. A lot of times we act like we choose God. It's so funny. It's so cute. You think you chose Jesus, and he planned for your rescue before the world was born. He made a way for you. You chose to respond to the opportunity that he opened the way for you. That's what you chose, but he actually has been pursuing you your entire life. Come on. How blessed are we? Church, how blessed are we? Church, how blessed are we? Come on. And we were not just chosen to know him. He said you were chosen for the praise of his glory. What is that, Mark? Well, I'm glad you asked. You were chosen to reveal Jesus through your life and the purpose he's attached to it. So not only does he give you rescue, grace, forgiveness, he's actually gifted you and called you to specific things. And if you will take advantage of what's in Christ, you will discover a life-giving purpose for your life. And you'll walk towards the miracles he made you for, and the healing you were made for, and the transformation you were made for. And you'll bring that healing and that transformation towards other people. And you'll get to enjoy not only the blessing of being a child of a king or a child of God, you'll actually get to be his hands and his feet and his voice extended to other people. And when you find that place, when you find the place where you are living for the praise of his glory, again you lift your face to God and you go, I cannot believe that I found the center of your will for my life. And I want you to know, there is no blessing like that place. There is no party, there's no experience, there's no reward. And no blessing like this. I can't believe that I am walking in the center of your will. And that's available to you if you pursue Jesus. Amen, church? And finally, he says, you are resourced by the Spirit. He says, you are marked with a seal. Anybody know what it means to have your letter sealed by like hot wax or something like that? That's what he's talking about. He's like, this is you. You are a letter, a love letter from God. And he sealed you by the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means to believe in the Spirit, that there's this practical expression of faith. You are indwelt by the living Christ. He said, if you come to me, I will send my Spirit. My Spirit will indwell you. And the Spirit reveals the truth and love of the Father, the salvation of the Son, and the hope we have for eternity, because his presence in our lives so that we belong to God. Let me make this practical for you. Every time you're convicted, oh! You stole from the cookie jar, you insulted your sister, et cetera, et cetera. And you feel, I'm not honoring God. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Every time you are compelled to do something breathtaking and beautiful for somebody, Care for your community. Reach out to a friend. Speak prophetically into somebody's life. Give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Visit the sick. Visit the imprisoned. Love your neighbor and make them cookies. Every time something gracious comes through your life, you have been moved by the Spirit. Every time you are convinced of a truth, you open up God's word and suddenly the word springs off the pages and you go, oh my gosh, that actually applies to my life. Like, I am a son of the Most High God. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. And it doesn't just reach your head, but it reaches the depths of your soul. And once you know this, there's a work being done by the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of revelation that lives within you. And he gives you this gift of communion. And once again, you feel alive in the presence of Jesus, compelled to say thank you. We are marked with the Holy Spirit, and his work is intensely practical every day. I actually believe that I hear the Spirit's voice hundreds of times a day. Most of the time, I don't recognize it until I slow down. And I say, oh, you said that to me. That wasn't just a normal thought. That was revelation from Jesus. Or you compelled me to do that, or to avoid that, or repent of that. And I thought it was me, but it was you. See, I'm marked. I'm sealed by the Spirit. Every spiritual blessing is available to me. I can live well, I can love well, I can serve well, I can give well, I can feel alive, I can feel gratitude, thankfulness, I can praise him, I can surrender my life to existence because I have been utterly blessed beyond measure and beyond imagination. So Paul throws down this incredible amount of resource. And then he writes one of his two unbelievable prayers in Ephesians. Like, they're just awesome. Like, they're so good. Aren't they? How many love these prayers in Ephesians? Chapter 1 and chapter 3, they're just like, You're like, what is about this prayer that we just need to tend to? And I don't have time to really unpack this prayer, but I want to read verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you to, the riches of his glory and inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He writes this first half of the chapter, come on, look at me. And then he says, I keep on praying for you. Have the eyes of your heart be so enlightened. You would not be driven by what you see, and so your self-pity or your lust or your desire, but you'd be driven by the eyesight of the Spirit, and you know just how deeply you are blessed. That you would be wise enough, wisdom and revelation, wise enough and open enough to hear the Spirit's voice and his reminder of this guy writing from a jail cell, chained to a wall, saying, do you know how deeply you have been blessed? The value of resource is determined by its use. If God piles up resources for your spiritual life, but you never use them, then you live in spiritual poverty. And when we don't use the resources of God, it's because we're just reaching for the resources of the planet. So many of them leave us with a depth of empty, and they can't deliver something that the resources of God can deliver, and that's this. Identity. I am the son of the living God who saw me coming and rescued me. and save me. Cannot deliver righteousness. I have been made right because of the grace of Jesus. And now I stand in the presence of God unhindered. I can lift my face to Him, forgiven and free, as I am changed from the inside out. And I am moved, every day moved by the Spirit of God who lives within me. Sometimes convicted, sometimes convinced, sometimes compelled, but I am moved and I am shaped by the Spirit of the living God. Do you have any idea how blessed you are if you are in Christ? Paul's prayer in the second half of the chapter is tied to the first half. Open the eyes of your heart with wisdom and revelation, and let God strengthen you from the inside out so that you actually live on purpose to the praise of His glory. Amen, church? Are we blessed? Are we blessed?
Yes.
We are blessed. So how do you live this life? This deep, breathtaking, and beautiful life. How do you get past the pain of your circumstances, disappointments, and the real issues in your family? And even if you feel like you're chained to a wall, really live to the glory of God. How do you get there? Well, the only way I know how to do it is an everyday pursuit of Jesus. You can give me a whole kind of list of why your life isn't what it should be. Well, we can just get on with this. We just get on with pursuing Jesus because we've been ridiculously blessed. And you can always make your excuses why you're mad at Him or mad at the world or mad at your hamster. I don't even care. Or you could take a look at the resources the Holy Spirit reveals to us in Scripture and go, I want that for my life. I want my kids and my grandkids to see me living this out. I want to walk into the room and I want the glory of Jesus radiating through my face and my voice. I want to speak prophetically into my wife's life or in my husband's life. I want my prodigal kids to come home. I'm not going to be sucked up by old tradition or legalism. I want to walk forward with Jesus Christ. I actually just want to know this feeling that I get to be in the presence of Jesus every day. If it's been a long time since you repented, I think you need to start over again because you're taking the resource of heaven for granted. It's been a long time since you had like a serious Thanksgiving episode with God. I think it's time to start over because you're taking the resources of heaven for granted. It's been a long time since you actually believe for miracles. I think you need to start over again because you're taking the resource of heaven for granted. Anybody want to live that life in Christ? Would you stand to your feet, church? Pastor David, could you come and help me? Just close your eyes for a second. How do you live deeply in Jesus? It just starts with pursuit. And if you want that deep life in Christ, like you say, Mark, I actually want to live for God. I want to live connected to His heart. I want to live in the identity of a son or a daughter of God. I want the overflow of my life to be more than just Sunday attendance. I want all that God's made me for. If you're standing in that posture saying, I want all that God has me for, then simply put your hands halfway up with your palms facing God and just ask Him to breathe fresh upon you right now by the Spirit. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Do this for you. Do this for your family. If you are distant from God, let me say this over your life. He saw you coming today. So you don't get to camp in shame or pain or regret, because we're not going backwards, we're going forward with Jesus. You are loved, you are seen, you are known, you are adored. If there's anything between you and him, then just say it to him right now. Just, God, forgive me. Your mercy is new every day, and I surrender my life to you. If there's anything, there's any voice in your head that's saying, be ashamed, be ashamed, I want you to cancel that voice in the name of Jesus. Just go after the enemy and say, you don't belong here anymore. I refuse to believe the lies of darkness and shame. I was blood-bought by the Son of God. I was called by his name today, and I will not live in insecurity or fear or self-doubt or condemnation anymore. Because you love me, and you receive me with all my warts and all my stains and all my brokenness. You say, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Now, in your own words, you process the junk that came in with. Now, today, you just say, God, I pursue you. Take a deep breath and just begin to pursue you. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to hear your voice. I want to know the touch of your presence. I want to know the love of God. I want to know your life in my life. I want to walk where you send me. I want to live in the way you ask me. And I want to see the miracles that you made me for. Come on, take a deep breath, church. Just breathe in the presence of God. He's here. He's here. He's here. Tell him you know he's here. You're here, God. I know you're here. 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 Let me speak for a second to some of you. Like, there's some really big concerns in my head, in my family right now. Like, some really big, deep waters we're walking through. But I wanna believe. I wanna receive God's help and his hope. And I want you to know this. That God is in the prison cell. God is in the prison cell. If you're here and you're carrying really heavy weight, you're like, and you want specific prayer, I just want you to raise your hand real high. I got to pray over you. Like, we're walking through some stuff. And I don't want to feel sorry for myself, but I need the help of heaven. I need the help of heaven. Amen. Anyone else? Awesome. Awesome. Just hold your hand up. We're just going to pray the Spirit of God breaks through in your circumstance, breaks in, and does some transforming work. Father, right now, you see these hands. They're just desperate for solution. They're desperate for help. God, they might be standing in proxy for somebody else. I believe that somebody is standing in proxy for somebody else. And we just loose miracles in the name of Jesus in this house, that you, oh God, would just come to bear in every circumstance. And that, Father, as we press into you, God, we pray for breakthrough in every circumstance. And as we approach you, because in Christ, Lord, there is resource for our challenges and there is help, God, for our circumstances. There's grace available, oh God, and you bring us through. You're the God of the breakthrough. And so, God, whatever wall is standing between us and victory, we smash it down with the words of life that you are in front of us, that you go before us. You are the God of the breakthrough. And you bring life and peace where we need it. So come, Holy Spirit, meet these people who are desperate for help in the moment. In fact, God, we believe for answered prayer this week in Jesus' name. We loose answers in Jesus' name this week, that the burden would begin to lift, circumstances begin to change, healing would begin to happen in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, so no. We're playing that song, You Can Have It All, and I just can't help but think, so can we. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen?